The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. We're joined with a special guest, the number 10th ranked prospect for the San Francisco Giants. Is that good? You tell me. Former second round draft selection. Is that good? You tell me. Matt Mikulski, how are you doing, brother?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. And I want to get something straight here. So your middle name is John. My name is Johnny. Have you ever thought about going by MJ? Is that a nickname that's been thrown around every once in a while?
Honestly, no, but that was my dad's brother's name and also my grandpa's name, so it just kind of fit. But that, MJ, why not? I've gotten Eminem more than MJ just because the M's.
Okay. Know? I was going to say, because you kind of look like Eminem. Like with that, listen, this is just Caucasian dude to Caucasian dude. You kind of look like him. And
I'm rocking the beard now, so I mean,
yeah, you're buzzing. I mean, you got the beard, you're doing all that stuff. I don't know if, yeah, you just love to see it. But another thing that I have to bring up, and I think this is going to be a hilarious clip that's going to be surfacing through social media. What the fuck's going on with your profile picture for the minor league website? Have you seen it?
No, I mean, I don't really pay attention to that stuff.
No, have you seen it? I need you to see it.
Maddie squints a lot.
Yeah, it looks like they took it. How do I say this respectfully? It looks like they took the picture with you just directly facing the sun. Like the sun was right behind the camera.
It was a tough one. But like that was off of a 13-hour car ride from Arizona.
And okay.
Yeah, that picture just, it was right in the middle of the day. And yeah, that's my, every single time I'm on the board, that's the picture that pops up. But right, yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I'm real squinty. Yeah.
Did you ask for a retake? Like, what's the deal with that? We got to start. I probably should,
but honestly, it doesn't matter to me.
We're gonna get that for you. We're gonna start the campaign to get you a new profile picture. It starts right here, right now, because we need a new one. Like, obviously, like I said, decent looking guy with like Eminem, like I mentioned, and we got to at least like no squinting. We got to get the proper picture here because listen, I know what it's like at some of these minor league teams. You got a lot of fans that are blackout drunk that just don't really care about the game. They see that picture on the Jumbotron. That's just an easy fucking chirp. Like, you can't make it easy for these guys, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a layup chirp. But, I mean, I got a bunch of layup chirps, you know. Like,
well, give me another layup chirp. Let's start tackling these right now. Like, making fun of yourself is the easiest thing. So, give me some layup chirps.
I mean, layup chirp, red hair. Get that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Almost every stadium that I'm in. I get long legs a lot.
That's a good one. That's a great problem to have, though. Like for especially a short king like myself, 5'10.3", having long legs is a great problem. So good for you.
Not a terrible problem. And then, I mean, I don't know. I've gotten some good chirps before. Like I've gotten some good chirps at regionals, like back in college and stuff like that. When I was at a regional, those are some good chirps. But that was just so many people chirping at you, you couldn't even make out like what was coming, like which direction it was coming from. It was just like, just taking it the whole time.
That, I mean, that's incredible shit because listen, I can respect a guy that has like a little bit of self-understanding. Like, listen, you could chirp a couple things and for me, I'm short. I wear glasses, not the brightest. I'm kind of dumb. Like, that's just a lot of things. Like, I'm not good. I'm not athletic. So there's just, it's just understanding the type of stuff here that people can make fun of you with. And another thing, you mentioned you went to Fordham, right? So credit to me for doing the research on that. Who's the most legendary Fordham baseball player of all time? Who's the GOAT?
That's a tough question, honestly. I mean,
look, are you? Because I mean, a second round pick here, you're doing hits with MLB Network and stuff. I mean, we got to go into you, maybe, right?
I would go way back. I would go way back to Pete Harnish. He was the like only Fordham draft pick who was a first round draft pick. And then I would keep going back. Just, there's some dogs back in the day. If you go back in the record books, Nick Martinez, who's with the Padres right now, he had that great run with Team USA. And he went to Fordham. I mean, there's some dogs for sure. It's a very low key school, you know.
Yeah, and I think I should probably know this because I'm almost positive we've had another Fordham guy on this podcast, but we're almost through like 155 guests. So I'm trying to think of who it is. I don't remember, but I remember asking this question: is Fordham a party school? Like, is Fordham like a fun school?
Oh yeah,
really?
I had a lot of fun at Fordham. I mean. It's a 15-minute train ride down to the city. You know, like, really? You hop on the train, you're in Grand Central in 15 minutes. So, like, if you want to go out in the city, you're right there. And then Fordham's like it's a bar school, you know. So, like, that's what you sign up for. You know, there's no house parties because you're in the middle of the Bronx. You're kind of in the middle of the hood. And, I mean, I had a great time. That's also, like, New York is my home, you know. So, I was real close to home and I was real comfortable with my situation at Fordham, and yeah, I loved it there. I know some people like have transferred out, or some people don't really like it there, or have their different opinions, but I loved it there. I had a great experience at Fordham.
Was there a part missing for you, like the element of having like a good, like a football team, like being able to go to like college game day and shit like that? Cause obviously you did some time with Team USA, if I have that correct, right?
No.
So you never did. So, okay. So you got to face some of these teams. Like, you got to face, like, obviously these big schools and stuff like that. And you got to, I'm assuming, meet some of these guys, just seeing their experience at college and like being able to like come out of a practice on Saturday and just immediately go tailgate with the boys for a college football game. Was that something that you were like, damn, I fucking wish I was a part of that?
So you're asking if a little bit, but at the same time, like, we would still like have a good time on like college football Saturdays. You know what I mean? Like, we'd have all the boys over and whatnot, but like, it's not like we didn't go to the Fordham football games. It's not like it wasn't attendable, you know, we would go and stuff like that. We actually had our ring ceremony my junior year. They played Richmond that year, and Richmond was like 6-0, and everybody was writing Fordham off, and Fordham actually beat them at home. That was Richmond's like first loss of the season.
Oh.
I remember. Yeah. And that was our ring ceremony. So we went out like at halftime and they were beating them. So, I mean, like, yeah, I've been to a couple football games at Fordham, but I would say it's about the same like college football. Like, the tailgates at Fordham are lit. Like, I'll be honest with that. Like, in the parking lot and stuff like that, they're lit for sure.
You're selling me. Maybe you should be like one of the recruiting coordinators for Fordham baseball. Like, just you could be a spokes guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could sell the school pretty well. It's not that bad.
I mean, I do have 2 years of eligibility left. So I am 25, but I don't know if there's like a ticking clock or something along those lines, but I would love to attend Fordham. Maybe we could get that going, figure something out with that. But I want to talk about the Fordham baseball team, because like you said, I mean, you guys were pretty good. I mean, you're pretty competitive and all that type of stuff. So, and this is the chance for you to kind of pump your own tires here. How nasty were you at Fordham? I mean, second round draft pick. You must have just been absolutely. And listen, like I said, this is a trust circle. I'm allowing you to do this. How good were you at Fordham?
Honestly, at my time at Fordham, out of my 4 years, there was better pitchers than me almost every year, except maybe my last year. You know, like, my freshman year, we had 2 or 3 draft picks. We had a kid who pitched for the Padres last year. And then, my sophomore year, we had the A-10 pitcher of the year, who's with the Twins now. And then my sophomore and junior year, we had the A-10 pitcher of the year. So, like, we were both in the same staff. And then my senior year, when I went back to school, that's probably the 1 year it could probably be like, yeah, I definitely was, like, the guy for our team that year.
But you're being humble here because I'm going to read your stats because I'm a stat guy now. Your senior or junior, I guess it's junior year, right? Yeah, junior year, you had a fucking 1.45 ERA and you were 9-0. Like, come on, bro. You don't got to be humble with me. That is, those are absurd stats.
That was senior year. But junior year was actually the COVID year. So I guess that was like the repeat, like COVID junior year. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah. That year was a special year for sure. Like, I think it's hard to not acknowledge that it was a great year, you know, but at the same time, like, it's a completely different ballgame up here, you know, like that's so far away from me. All that stuff and all that success is so far away that, like, it's great to look back on that. And like, every time I walk back into Fordham, I'll be able to think about that stuff, but it's on to the next one, you know?
But yeah.
It is pretty crazy looking back on it for sure. But what I can definitely say is there was some fucking dogs at Fordham, like some guys that my freshman, sophomore, junior year that made me better because I would compete with them and try and get better and try and be better than them, you know, and those guys are playing pro ball now and doing their thing.
No, I got to respect that. But so looking back on that, like that season, was that the season where, because before that year, were you projected to be this high of a draft pick? Or was it just like going into that year after that absolute video game-esque type of year? Were you just like, all right, I'm going to go high in the draft. Like, I have agents calling me. Teams are looking at me, watching my bullpens, watching my games. Like, was that when you realized like, oh shit, I'm going to go high in the draft here?
Well, I mean, how it really all started for me, like getting interest. Like, I really never thought I would get to the next level. Like, my freshman year, maybe sophomore year, I saw it a little bit more after going to a regional at West Virginia. Then I went up to the Cape that summer.
Yeah.
And that it really like opened my eyes. Like, hey, like I could pitch well against better competition. And I'm starting to get some questionnaires from scouts and some texts from advisors and stuff like that. And I think that's when I started to really realize that I could like do something with this. And then obviously the COVID year, I went out and tried to do what I did my senior year, my junior year, you know, like that was the year right after the Cape. I wanted to go out there and just put it all out there, put it all on the line junior year, try and get drafted junior year. Boom, pandemic hits. Then that's when I was like, 5-round drafts might happen, might not happen. And then it didn't happen. And then that's when we went back to the drawing board and you saw the results, I guess. I mean, it happened so fast that whole year to me, like my Fordham senior year at Fordham, like graduating and all that stuff. It all happened so fast that like looking back on it, it's like, I forget bits and pieces here and there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. The same thing with me. I forgot it majority of the wise because I was blackout drunk majority of my junior college career. But I do understand where you're coming from in that aspect. But I got to bring this up also, mentioning Fordham. When I hear Fordham, I just could be in the name. I just think sophistication. Like, it just sounds like a sophistication. Guys wearing Sperry's, 4-inch inseam shorts. Is Fordham a frat school? Or like, how would you describe that type of school? Is it academic? Like, what is it?
It's a very good academic school, I would say. I think people go there for academic reasons. But I mean, how I would explain Fordham is like historic. Like, Vince Lombardi went there and coached there. You know?
What?
Like, yeah, like the Lombardi Center is like where we work out, like where we do like infield for winter practices and stuff like that. It's called the Vincent Lombardi
Holy
Center.
Holy shit.
And then like Vince Scully went to Fordham as well. Played baseball at Fordham. Like when we were at West Virginia, Vince Scully actually called us the night before we played West Virginia. It was like, good luck, boys. Gave us like a little pep talk, which is pretty cool. And then, yeah, I mean, like, that's what I think. I think like historic, like even when you were saying all the numbers from my senior year, like some of the stuff that I forget at the end of the year, some of like the historic numbers that like I ended up breaking with my catcher, you know, and like the battery that the relationship that we had. And just, yeah, it's just stuff like that. You think back on it, and it's tough. Like, I miss it, but at the same time, it's.
Yeah, I wish I could go back to college. I'll say it. I wish just having no worries in the world, just living the dream with the boys on the bus, you know, and you're still doing it. And I will give you this. Never take that shit for granted, you know, like never take being with the boys and just being in a locker room for granted, because you never know when it can get taken away from you and you hit below your body weight. So just enjoy that shit with the boys. because obviously I'm sure you guys have a great locker room wherever you go, especially in the minors, tons of good guys. So
yeah, just, I mean, out here in San Jose, it's a great experience right now. We got some good dudes out here.
Yeah, you do. I looked at the roster, just absolutely electric dudes. But before we go into this, your minor league career, I got to ask you this. So obviously you go second round. It's pretty good chunk of change. We're not going to talk about how much money you signed for. People can search it. What's the dumbest thing you bought? I've had people buy Gucci tracksuits. I've had people buy stupid cars right off the bat they can't afford. What was the dumbest thing you bought?
Dumbest thing I bought?
Or most expensive. One thing that took an absolute chunk out of the fucking bank account.
I mean, I probably spent a bag or two at Lulu. It's probably the thing. You know what I mean? Lulu, I'm addicted to Lulu. That shit's fire. But nothing really I could, like, stupid purchases? No. But, yeah, that's probably the dumb purchases I make. Because there's a huge Lulu store here in San Jose. I'll just walk in there and be $200 down or, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, so wait a second. You're not in San Jose? Where are you?
No, we're in San Jose. Like, I'm in, I guess it's called like Communications Park. It's like a little hamlet of San Jose. But like, if you go down to Santana Row, is what it's called. Santana Row. That's like where all the big shopping is. Like,
okay, that's electric. That shit's sick. And it's sick because obviously, like, you're from a part of the country that's pretty similar to where I'm from the Toronto area. So we experienced dog shit weather 6 months of the year, and so did you growing up. What's it like being in San Diego or San Jose? Sorry, what's it like being in San Jose? Like, just the difference in it.
So I wish I was in San Diego. San Diego sounds lit. I mean,
sick,
sunny and 75 every day. My dad tells me that all the time. But San Jose is lit too. Like, now that the weather is starting to turn and we're in the summer, it's just beautiful every single day. I mean, we just came back from Stockton, which when you go inland here, it's a little bit hotter, but yeah. I mean, you can't complain about the heat. Like, I'm a guy, like you said, I'm coming off of 4 months of snow. So it's like, bring me all the heat. I don't care, you know?
Dude, I'm jealous of you because, and obviously I know California, what's the stereo? Is it hot, like really hot there? Or would you say New York summer's way hotter? Because we deal with the humidity, right?
New York summer's way hotter. Because here it's like, we're right by the bay. Like, if this is San Francisco, this is San Jose. And then the bay is like kind of in between. So yeah. We're bay. We get the breeze from the bay. So it actually like gets kind of cold at night. You know, I mean, there's, especially earlier in the season when we were playing games in like early April, it would get cold at night for sure.
Wow. Yeah, because I've seen like pictures of people at like Padres games in the summer and they're wearing hoodies. I'm like, what the fuck are you wearing a hoodie for?
That's a little different. I think that's a little different. I think people are just, I mean, maybe the breeze is bad down there too. I got no idea.
Used to the heat, right? They're used to it always being hot. So that, like, what's hot for them is different for us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for me, like, the weather's fucking beautiful out here. Like, and even in Arizona, like, people complain about the heat like down there, and I'm just like, dude, it's at least it's better than snow, you know?
People don't understand the shit that we go through, like, this side of the world. Like, our summers, the humidity is enough to make you want to just die. Like, for instance, it was 37 degrees. I don't work off Fahrenheit, obviously I'm Canadian, with like 100% humidity. I don't know what that equals out to. But with the humidity, it's like you can't breathe with how hot it is. It's way different than dry heat.
And on top of it, like you said, you're Toronto, like New York, like the cities like that, when they're so bunched in together, it's just that more hotter. You know, like being in the Bronx in the summertime is fucking brutal. Like, I remember the COVID summer, I would go down to the Bronx like every now and then, and it would just be absolutely scorching hot. The sidewalks, that you could see the paint just melting off of the is just disgusting. Yeah,
just a nightmare, dude. People don't understand. They're like, oh, it's not hot there. It's like, oh yeah, dude, it's fucking boiling. It's here
just so humid. It's
like, and even when I go to a Jays game and you're like sitting in the stands and the sun is beaming down on you with the humidity and it's just like you're in close quarters with people, it's the worst thing on planet Earth. So people don't understand that. But we got to go into your career. So obviously we're still early in the career here. You've pitched a year and like a quarter. What was like the biggest difference that you noticed coming from college? Like your first experience, because you carved last year, not many innings, right? I believe 5 innings you threw or 5.1, something along those lines. What was the biggest difference you noticed?
Well, obviously you're throwing every fifth day now, you know, it's a little bit shorter, you know, you're not throwing like every Friday, you know, it's you're skipping a day now. I mean, there's a lot to adjust, like the fact that I'm on the other side of the country and all that stuff. But I mean, I'm just taking it in stride. Like at the end of the day, I'm living my dream, you know, so I can't really complain. And I got, like we were talking about before, I got guys down here or out here that like are absolute dogs, and they're the boys. Like, I don't know how else to say it. I feel like we all get along and we're just having a good time and winning a lot of baseball games for sure.
Yeah, you guys are a wagon. And there's one prospect, actually, that I kind of want to talk about. His name's not ringing a bell to me, but is this right? Marco Luciano? Have you seen or came across that guy before?
Yeah, he's older than me, though. I've never played with him. I've actually never been on the field with him.
Really?
Actually, I don't know if he's older than me. But
no, like, he's 3 years younger than you.
He's 3 years younger than me, but he's been in the organization longer than me. So he's like, I think he's in high A.
Yeah, he's in high A. Okay, yeah, yeah. I think that's Eugene, right? Yeah, yes. That's Eugene. There's some dogs, man, and a couple dogs that I wanted to talk about. Very good friend of the podcast, Hunter Bishop. Have you come across Bish before? The Bish DJ?
Bish is a really good dude. Really good dude. I love Bish. Good dude.
I feel like
nobody ever said a bad word about that. He's such a good dude, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, the thing that I love about him is I guess you could say I kind of hate about him. He's just good at fucking everything. You know, he was like a four-star quarterback recruit out of high school. Went to ASU, first round draft pick, raked at ASU, unbelievably good looking. DJ.
I'm gonna have to let him know about that. Next time I see him. High school quarterback. I didn't know.
He was disgusting. I don't know if he was a quarterback or wide receiver. He was one of the two. But he was like getting offers from like SEC schools. He was disgusting. Like Arizona State, he was gross. And I had his brother Braden on, and he told me then I had Bishop on right after. So yeah, that guy's nasty. Is he one of the prospects in the system that you could say like is people are very, very hyped about just based off how he was in college? Like is he talked about a lot?
I feel like we're all pretty much talked about, but I mean, the thing with Bish is he's just such a good dude. Like everybody likes him, you know, like I feel like it's very easy to talk good about somebody when, like, you just like a dude, you know? And I think a lot of people in this org are like that. And I think that's why this is a great org. I feel like every single time I step into the stadium at San Jose, like, it's like a family type deal. And we're going to war together every single day. And I feel like the group that we got in San Jose and even the group above us and even the group in AA, AAA, like, the org in general, the minor leagues and San Fran it's good. I like it a lot. I'm having a great time.
And another guy that I wanted to talk about, I think he's with you right now, actually. Yeah, he is. I'm really good friends with his brother David. Will Bednar, what's this dude like? The guy that's just big time at me when his brother comes on, the best closer in baseball comes on, but it's Will Bednar. It's the most impossible dude to get on the podcast. What's Will's he like?
Good dude. I like Will. I got nothing bad to say about Will either. He was one of my like first friends in the draft class. Like we met like,
yeah, you guys went one round between each other, right?
He was a first rounder. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were second.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's class acts. Like we got a bunch of class acts. I don't know. And then like our whole class, I feel like is just very tight. I mean, I was close with Mason Black, who was our third rounder, and then this kid Seth Lonsway, who was our sixth rounder, I believe. I don't want to get that wrong, but like we were all on the same Cape Cod team, you know. And then even like another kid in our system, Brett Auerbach, we were all on the same Cape Cod team, you know. We were all real close from that summer, you know. And then the fact that we're all here together, it's kind of crazy to think about, but I'm having a great time.
What's San Jose like? Like, just, is there a lot of fans there? Like, do you guys pack the stadium? Like, what's it like?
So, the stadium was built in, like, the 1930s. But
what?
Like, it's, like, state of the, it's nice. Like, I think it's nice. I mean, some teams will not like it, whatever, because it's cold. Or, like, the wind is always blowing at our field. But we had a beer batter weekend. Not this past week because we were in Stockton, but the weekend before, and man, we packed it out. It was a good time. We got those wins and took it over into Stockton. It was good.
I love beer batters. Love beer. Yeah. I'm obsessed with them.
Yeah, no, it's a great time. Like we have like the fact that they'll keep track on the board as well. Like, we have like a nice little friendly competition with guys like in the bullpen, and chirp guys, chirp, chirp, chirp here and there. Like, oh, look, you got this guy, you got that guy, shit like that.
That's so sick. Dude, if I'm the pitcher and I see that beer batter up, I'm just kind of letting the arm eat a little bit. I don't care. Like, if I could get in, I'm letting that eat. I want to give the fans a show. Have you had an opportunity to pitch when there's a beer batter?
Yeah, yeah.
How electric is that? Like, are people just going bananas when you strike the dude out?
For sure. I got to strike out beer batter on opening night, which was nice. That was cool. But, I mean, I think everybody in the org who has played in San Jose can all agree with that statement that you just said. Like, yes, like when the beer batter is up, it means more. It just means like, it just means more, you know, like you want the crowd to fucking get hyped, get into it. And, yeah, and I mean, it's fun. Like it just brings the fun into the game. And I think like, that's just the way it's supposed to be played. Like you're supposed to like, want the fans to be hyped up and stuff like that, even for like a Wednesday game, you know, it's a good time.
There's another guy that's on your team that I want to talk about. He's not even in your top 30 prospects, which is absurd, by the way. Wow. Vaughn Brown, dude, this guy's hitting 347, 14 nukes, 41 RBIs. What the fuck? Yeah. What's this dude's problem?
He's on one. He's on one. I mean, he's not with us anymore. Vaughn Brown, he's another one where, like, we first met, we kind of hit it off. He's just a good dude, in and out, stud. Like, he's one of those guys that just plays hard day in, day out. And I don't have a bad word to say about him either. Me and Vaughn are real tight. Good dude.
Wow. I mean, I got to get this dude on the show. 347, dude?
Person on our team was, like, you could ask anybody on our roster, they'll all tell you the same thing, like, this kid's incredible, like literally incredible.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Is he one of those guys that you play with where it's like, this guy's going to be in the show? Like, you know, like, is there certain guys that you play with? And by the way, he had 1,064 OPS. Like, what the fuck? Is he one of those guys where you're looking at him and you were playing with him and you're like, that guy's going to be special someday in the show? Is he one of those guys?
I hope so. I mean, I really do, because he's a good kid in and out, and I think like he does everything the right way, and he plays hard day in, day out, and like puts his body on the line. He's ran into the wall at San Jose is like metal. It's a metal wall. He's run into that wall like 3, 4, 5, 6 times, like countless amount of times. Like, kid's just putting it all out on the line every single time he goes out there. So,
dude, you guys are disgusting. I mean, your record is 43-26. Like, how fun is it to go to the ballpark every single day and just absolutely fucking dog walk teams? Like, literally dog walk teams.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. But I mean, at the same time, like, there's definitely its ups and downs. You know, you definitely have like, even days when you're winning, like, there's definitely its ups and downs, you know, like maybe you just didn't have all your stuff out of the pen that day, or you didn't have the best start you wanted that day. But I think what's so special about this team is everybody's picking each other up. Like, when somebody's doing bad, somebody else is picking them up. Somebody's picking that guy up. And I think like, that's just the sign of a really good baseball team. I think like we're not out of any game. We could be down 7-0 and we're not out of that game, you know? And I just think it's special. I think for my first full season, I wouldn't want it to be any other way. Like, most of our guys are here. Like, I'm having a great time.
Yeah, and you have that guy. I mean, I'm looking at your roster right now. Mason Black, dude, 1.57 ERA. And then you have Evan Gates with a 0.76. Like, is that bullpen electric?
Yeah, both of those guys are in high A, but they were electric when they were here.
Oh, they're okay. Both, they're not there anymore.
Yeah, well, Gates is in Eugene. Yeah, they're both in Eugene now.
Where is Eugene? Is that Oregon?
Oregon, yeah.
Wow. Credit to me for knowing that. Fuck. Yeah. So obviously being in the California minor leagues kind of system, obviously there's a ton of places you guys visit where it's safe to say it's not ideal. I've heard stories about, do you guys play Modesto or is that Double A?
We actually play Modesto this week.
Oh, in Modesto?
No, at home.
Okay, good. I don't recommend playing there.
We opened up in Modesto.
How I've heard stories. We've had some of our funniest minor league stories from there. We've had stories of, I believe it was from Donnie Walton, who's in the Giants system now, actually plays in the show. He told a story of a fan climbing a light pole with a machete in Modesto. And I've heard other stories of guys like in the middle of games, just like gunshots firing out from the street across from them. Like that place is fucked. Like, what was it like that when you were there?
I mean, the one thing I could say about Modesto is there was a huge car fire, like a huge accident, or no, maybe not even an accident. We were trying to figure it out for like the longest time during this. And we thought there was an accident on the highway, and there was this huge like flame, you know, like it was, cars were driving right by it. But then we had guys going on Google Maps, and there was a junkyard, and we were hearing like these popping sounds. And what was really popping were these cars. It was just cars just in this junkyard, just boom, pop, 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 pop.
Oh my God.
We're obviously like miles away, but like this is a burning flame. Like we had guys like peeking over, because the bullpen is kind of, you had a perfect view of it. You know, you kind of, all you had to do was turn your head around and just look. And yeah, it was a huge flame. It was crazy. And honestly, it was going on for like 3-4 innings. Like, it was insane. It really was. That was probably the craziest thing that's happened in Modesto. But yeah, I mean, Stockton, they tell you it's pretty dangerous in Stockton. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm from New York, so.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You are from New York, so that's something that you got to, like, obviously take with a grain of salt. Maybe some stories were exaggerated because they're from better parts of the country. But so what's, like, the weirdest place you visited? Like, a place where you're staying at, like, a very, like, gross hotel. Just, it's not ideal. Because we got funny stories of guys, like, pulling up their bed sheets, and it's just full of blood, like, under the covers, or just yellow shit, like, sweat. What's it been like for you? Have you had any like weird hotels or places you visited?
You know, honestly, the Giants do take care of us. They do. We are in pretty nice hotels, so I can't really. I mean, I think that the hotels sometimes are like a little outdated, but they're still nice. If that makes sense. Like, they might, the furniture might be a little bit old, like the desk that holds the old coffee maker or something like that. Like, it might be a little bit old, but still a nice hotel, and they do a good job of like keeping us close to the stadium. Like, I love the way where we just came back from Stockton is set up. Like, it's literally a 2-minute walk to the stadium. You just walk from the hotel to the stadium, and then from the stadium back to the hotel after the game.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends on the association organizations. I know the A's have it tough. Like, some of their minor league guys, like, wow, that shit's tough. But so you mentioned it being your first full year in the minors and stuff like that. How hard has it been to like adjust to it? Because obviously you went to Fordham, which is close to home for you, right? I mean, it's like driving distance from your house, I'm assuming, or close to it at least. Now you're far as fuck. You're on the other side of the country. So how hard is that to like adjust for you? Like, just having to really live alone pretty much. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that's an adjustment for anyone, you know? And I think just kind of taking it in stride, knowing that like not every day is going to be perfect. There's going to be, it's bumps in the road on this journey. And I think like, yeah, being across the country and being that far away from home, that's an excuse for a lot of guys. But I think like being able to say that I played in a bunch of summer ball leagues growing up and I was away from home all summer anyways, like, it's something that you kind of are used to, you know. But
yeah, and this is the true circle here. I want you to be as completely honest with me as possible. What time zone's the best? Are you an Eastern time zone guy? Are you a Pacific stand? Like, where do you stand on that? Which one do you think is king?
Time zone guy. I heard something about time zones that they were getting rid of time zones. Did you hear about that?
No. Okay. I think what you're hearing is they're getting rid of daylight savings time.
Daylight savings. Okay.
Yes.
But
yes.
What so we're not turning back our clock.
Yeah, so there's no turning back the clock. It's just whatever, because you know, right? So on our part of the country, or I guess, like I mentioned, we're not in the same country, but it gets dark as fuck at like 6 o'clock at the end of the summer when they change the clocks. They're changing it now, so they're not having to do that. So it gets dark at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, when it should be fucking getting dark. So I think that's what they're doing. So
turning into Arizona. That's what Arizona just stays the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Arizona is the best time zone because they don't switch. They don't have to go back or forward. I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard to say the East Coast is not the best time zone, you know?
Well, but, and listen, so I'm a sports guy. You're a sports guy, I'm assuming. You like football, like you mentioned, shit like that.
Eastern time, right? Like, they're not.
Yeah, I just can't imagine a Sunday night football game at 5 p.m. or a Monday night football game at 5 p.m., right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I think like, that's why it's superior, because you're going, even when people are, like, mentioning a live event, they say, let's just say, 8:30 Eastern time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. So, like, even that is showing you that it might be a little bit superior to other time zones. You know,
I'm with you.
It's prime time before the rest.
I'm with you. I think Eastern time zone is king. I and that might be a controversial take, but just hear me out. Like, for instance, you're a Yankee fan. You live in San Francisco, right? You live in wherever. The game starts potentially when you're leaving work, like 4 p.m. If you're working a basic 8-to-4 or 9-to-5 job, majority of the games of teams you enjoy watching are starting when you're at work. You have no time in between. At least here, obviously, if people get off work, they like to work out, do stuff, whatever. You have 2 hours, 3 hours in between to do whatever the fuck you want, and then you could go watch the game. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I find it crazy to me that it's, like, how different it is. I don't know. Well,
I'm a big UFC guy, too, so, like, it's tough for me to be on this coast and, like, obviously – on the East Coast, the main event fights, like, don't start until 12 o'clock. You know what I mean? So, like, usually 12 o'clock, you're done with all your baseball stuff for the day. But, like, out here, it starts at 8, 9. You know what I mean? Like, the main event is starting at 8 or 9. So I'm missing that. Like, that's when our games are. So I'm completely missing the main event sometimes. Sometimes I'll be able to get back here and watch, like, the last 2 rounds of the main event. But, like, it's like,
yeah, no, it's a great point. It's a great point, and I'm going to die on this hill. Eastern time zone's better just based off the fact that, listen, Sunday football, right? It's football Sunday. These games are starting at 1 o'clock when they should be starting. Like, imagine living in California. The first NFL game kicks off at 10 a.m.
I can't believe that. It's like watching a game in London.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. I can't believe it. And then, for instance, college football. I'm a massive college football fan. The first game kicks off at 9 a.m. your time. Like, what? Don't sign me up for that shit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's brutal. I didn't even think about it like that, because we were in Arizona last fall for the start of football season. So I think the games would start around like 12 or maybe 11.
Yeah, 11. It's 11. I think it's 2 hour difference.
That's even early, you know, like, that's pretty crazy too. But that's like, maybe a little bit more of a perfect time, 11, 12.
Yeah. Right?
Start moving around, get your morning football in, get your afternoon football in, then your night football, and then go out.
Yeah. So maybe we could argue that Eastern time zone's not king necessarily. We could say Arizona time's the best. I don't know what that time zone's called, Arizona Standard Time, but
it'd be a close second. It's low key a close second.
Yeah. Has to be.
Like, if we're bringing sports into it, like, it's low-key a close second just because of that setup. Like, 11 o'clock, most people are up by 11 o'clock. Games are on. Get to go morning, lunch, dinner.
Exactly. No, it eases you into it. I respect that. That's a great take. That's a really good take. So, do you notice when you go back to New York, especially when you're coming from Cali and stuff like that, or even when you go visit family or call your family, do you notice, like, do you get jet-lagged and stuff like that? Like, do you notice a massive difference just living off of what you're living off of right now?
Maybe for like the first couple of days, I'll feel a little jet lagged. But I, like I said, I've been traveling for baseball or for sports, like whether it's baseball, basketball, football. Like, I was traveling for sports all the time. So, I mean, I'm used to going different time zones, all that good stuff. And I mean, junior year, I think we went to GCU. That was the first time I had ever been out to Arizona. And like, I kind of like fell in love with Arizona just because
that's my favorite state. That's my favorite state in the U.S.
Just because of the heat. Like, I literally just loved it because it's always hot there. And then on top of it, everywhere there, AC. Just walk nice, like, subway, and it hits you in the face with like the coldest AC you've ever felt.
Yeah. Arizona is the best state in the U.S. in my opinion, not even remotely close. I think Arizona's king. It's right. It's close to Vegas.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Toronto. I'm close to Toronto. Yeah, I'm just wearing an Arizona hoodie because, listen, I get roasted for this. My travel team always used to go to the Arizona Fall Classic in Peoria. And I would just buy as many fucking college hoodies as possible. Like, I have Arizona. I was wearing Arizona State yesterday for Bish. We'll pretend it was for Bishop. And, yeah, I love the college. I'm a Michigan fan, so I might get roasted for this, but not in the same division, so it's fine. Not in the same conference, but, yeah, I love Arizona. Arizona's the best state.
My brother's a Michigan fan.
I can respect that. So you and your brother would get along. Let's go into your pregame routine, though, right? So I love the off-field shit. I love the superstitious type of people. Are you a superstitious dude?
I mean, I try not to be, but, like, I'll have, like, certain things that I would say, I mean, not really. Like, it's just tough. Like, I do wear, like, ankle socks under my, like, high socks. You know what I mean? Like, I just, that's just something that I'm comfortable with that I got to do. Like, something that I'm always, like, the routine is always the same. Like, the pregame routine is always the same. Something that people always think is weird is, like, doing handstands before start. I just like to keep it loose. I like to keep it fun. But I think, like, the night before, maybe, like, something greasy. I usually like to get, like, a nice greasy, like, pizza or something like that. Like, when I was in college, I'd always get, like, a fat, like, pizza on Arthur Avenue, you know?
And So your pregame routine is just eating like a common man. Like, that's your pregame routine, eating the most fattest thing on the fucking planet.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like, why not? Like, it's stress-free, you know? You're just trying to go out there with as least stress as possible. And, like, I think if you're eating relaxed and staying relaxed the night before, I think that's what's going to help out there. But I think I'm trying to think of more. It's kind of lame that I don't really got any other, like,
pre-game. So do you like have a dip before the game, like Zen pouch? Like, what music do you listen to? Like, what like that type of stuff?
I'm a New York hip hop guy, you know, like, I'm Biggie, Jay-Z, 50 Cent. Like, that's my pregame playlist. That's my playlist usually everywhere. But I'm, every time I go out there, like, each walkout, I like to switch my walkout up. That's probably a thing that I do that's kind of different, I guess. Like, I switch my walkout each start. I don't have, like, one specific walkout.
Okay. I love the switching up of the walkout. I love just going into the walkout music type of stuff. I just think it's the greatest thing of all time, just kind of hearing people's reasonings behind it. And actually, I shortchanged you. I said you were the 10th ranked prospect, you're the 9th. So credit to me for actually figuring that out and just absolutely fumble fucking it. Another fun fact here: your birthday is 4 days after mine, so we share the same birthday month.
Shit, there you go.
May 8th. You're May 8th. I'm May 4th. It's just, yeah, that this is why the friendship here. Like I said, I'm buying in on you early here because this is what we're doing here. When you make that show, you're gonna know. You're gonna look back and be like, my birthday friend. My number one podcast for me. We're grinding, like we're in this together now. I'm grinding with you throughout the minor leagues now.
No, honestly, like, the one thing I could say about I've gotten along with almost every person I've met from Toronto. I think I've met like three people from Toronto, all like great dudes.
That's like that's just Canadians though. That's Canadians, but. Just Canadians. But okay, who what other Toronto people have you met? Like in the system, in the minors? Like how do you know Toronto people?
So I played who's up in Eugene right now. His name's Max Wright. Absolute stud, like gem, beauty, absolute dude.
Yeah.
And I mean, met him. And then I played with some kids I'm blanking.
In your summer league or what?
I want to say like Martha's Vineyard. I played out in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, I know Max Wright. He went to Indiana State, right? I played against him.
Sycamore.
Yeah, he's a year younger than me. I played against him because 18 new year, we played against each other. I know exactly who that is. Yeah, yeah. I know Max Wright. He's actually pretty good, actually. I think he
No, he's good. I mean, he's another one of those kids like in our class that we all just kind of hit it off and we all gel together. Like, the beauty. Good dude. Yeah,
he's a good dude. It's good to hear. It's good to hear that the Canadian kids are just making a positive impression on you. And I got to go into this because I'm obsessed, especially because you're like an early on prospect. I'm obsessed with reading like the horny scouting reports that these 40-year-olds write about you guys. And unfortunately, like, there's no horny stuff here. Like, no one, like, I'm not hearing anything about your thighs. Yeah, it's all I'm reading here is you changed your delivery, more compact, shorter arm action. Maybe talk about that for a second. Let's go into the analytics of shit. What did you do with your delivery?
Yeah, I mean, I guess after the 5-round draft, didn't work out, you know?
Just, yeah.
Wasn't the right fit with a couple teams, and then got calls after the draft, wasn't willing to sign. And I was just like, right after the draft, I knew I was going back to school, called my coach. I was like, I'm going back to Fordham for my senior year, and I'm going to graduate, and that's what I'm going to do. And kind of sat down, took a break for like 10 days, I would say, from like throwing and stuff. Because leading up to the draft, I was like throwing bullpens, getting ready to go. And then for like 10 days, kind of took like a little bit of a shutdown. And the one thing I wanted to do was like throw harder, more consistently. And because I was probably like throwing like 89, 91 my junior year, but like the numbers were there, like the COVID year, the numbers were there. It just wasn't throwing hard enough. So then I bumped the velo up. It was like 92, 94 sitting at my senior year. And then on top of like shortening the arm action, I think it just made me a little bit more in time with the rest of my body. So I think my body just wants to go. And I think like being so long in the back half was like making my arm lag. So I think it really just timing wise, like got me into better timing and like with the rest of my body. But analytically, the biggest thing that we were looking at was like spin efficiency. You know, like each time I picked up a fastball or threw a fastball, you know, we wanted to see how much of a percentage of the spin efficiency that I could get on that fastball, you know. And like each time at Fordham, like we were on the Rapsodo, like each time out that fall, my senior year fall, it got better and better and better. It went from like 79% from like the first start of the fall to the last start of the fall. It was like 98%.
Wow. That's yeah. Sick.
Because that's a huge part of my game, I feel like deceptiveness, you know, and like doing the short arm action is being deceptive. And then on top of it, like the spin efficiency, if it's 98%, I'm throwing a 92 mile an hour fastball, it's just going to look that much harder, you know, or yeah. If 93 mile an hour fastball, it's just going to look that much harder, you know? So I think that's where analytically I worked on it a little bit. And then other than that, like, cause I'm trying to bring you back to that summer, because I don't really have that many like resources. Like obviously now it's different, like analytically we're breaking shit down, doing more, but that summer it wasn't like we had like the best resources, especially like if you tried to go onto a field in New York, like you're getting the cops called on you because you weren't supposed to be outside, you know, you're supposed to be quarantined.
Yeah, so,
like shit like that where we had to deal with that. And I always think about that and think about my buddies from back home that are always like hitting me up like ask me how I'm doing. And I'm just like, at least we're not getting kicked off the field right now. At least we're playing baseball.
That's a good perspective to have. So have you actually hit triple digits, or is this fucking scouting report just lying?
I think that's eyewash. I think that's eyewash, to be honest.
It says sitting in the mid 90s and reaching triple digits with plenty of carry up in the zone. I was going to say, if you're hitting triple digits, let's fucking go. But is that's not true? You're debunking that?
I'm debunking that. I have debunked that one ever since it came. I mean, I think like it's not about velocity for me. Like for me, like that's great. Like I got to that point, whatever. But like it's about pitching, you know? Like I'm a pitcher. I'm not a velocity thrower, you know? Yeah. And like a bunch of guys like get that mixed up, you know? Like there's velocity that comes behind it, but I'm trying to pitch out there, I'm trying to strategize, set guys up, and that's another adjustment that I could definitely work on from college to now, you know, rather than like, just like, all right, I'm going to bully this kid with a fastball, you know, I'm going to have to set up, adjust, game plan a little bit here. What am I going to do here? When in and out, up and down, stuff like that.
I'm just glad we can debunk that. I'm glad that that's what we could do. We're just debunking rumors over here. And the last thing that I wanted to end with is obviously like, we're talking about projections and stuff like that. Who's one guy in the show that you've been like compared to, or one guy that you watch and you kind of model your game after? Because obviously with the short arm, like you mentioned, I guess you can kind of compare yourself to like Lucas Giolito, maybe in that aspect of like a short arm type of guy, very deceptive.
That was a part of the story that we kind of left, or I left out, but we kind of sat down, like me and my cousin, like as a team, you know, and we sat down and we looked at guys who were doing the short arm action. So like Plesac, Bieber, Giolito. So we looked at those guys and like tried our own version of it, if that makes sense. Like realistically, like I didn't use like one of those, you know, like those arm pass things that like you put in the front and kind of like pull out. I didn't use one of those. I just realistically, I just thought about throwing like a quarterback, because I played quarterback my whole life. So like, that's what I thought about. Like just start throwing like a quarterback, stay in the pocket, stay in the tube and see how it goes. And immediately I saw the change, like fastball had a little bit of life to it. And then it had more life on my breaking shit as well. Change up became like a lot sharper as well. So I think that's when I first saw it and I was like, oh, all right, we could build off of that here. But I would say if I was trying to emulate some guys, it was like those guys. Like when I was going through that change, that process, it was like those guys were the guys just because they were doing it already. That made sense.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Yeah, like Lucas Giolito is probably like the poster boy, especially with the Cy Young type of year he had and stuff like that. So he's the definition of a short arm guy.
Even Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is a big guy that I look at too, just because like he used to be real long, like me. Like he used to be Madison Bumgarner long.
Yeah.
And now, like, then he went from real short, and then he went to the perfect medium almost, right? Like he's like, he's still short, but he's still got that kind of like long down here, and then he gets it up and going. You know, so I think there's the happy medium as well, like not being too short where you're crocodiling it and not being so long. But everybody, as long as you're delivering the pitch, you know, everybody's going to be different. And I just felt like that was going to help me, and it ended up working for me. You know, like somebody could start trying to do it tomorrow and it won't work. You know, they need to be long and athletic and long with their top half, you know, so.
Yeah, and this is the last thing, actually. Have your New York friends and family been like, oh, man, there's Maddie gone fucking California on us? Like, just based off of the way you act now, I guess, or some shit? Like, are they like, you're just a fucking Cali kid now? Like, I'm surprised you're not wearing the fucking shark tooth necklace, just living the dream in Cali. Is that something that, like, your friends are like, oh, there he is. No, not a New York guy anymore. He's a Cali kid now.
Nah, I hope not. I hope they're not talking about me like that. But, I would say they're all very supportive. You know, I'm always keeping in touch with a bunch of my friends and obviously family back home, and they're all very supportive and hoping that I'm doing well. And actually, speaking of necklaces, I had a start yesterday. Won't really talk about it. It was a tough one, but at the same time, threw a pitch, chain broke.
That's just bad juju. If that happens to me, I'm telling the coach to take me out, because that just means bad stuff's going to happen.
It was just insult to injury. It was already bad.
Yeah, well, the thing is, right, you're still grinding and learning your shit, obviously. It's like, that's why, like, I generally don't think – obviously, you have to keep stats in those leagues, but I think the more – like, what matters more is, like you mentioned, like, the spin rate, all that type of stuff. That is something that scouts are probably looking at, or your cross-checkers looking at more compared to like what your stats are down there, because there's guys that get called up that have like 9 ERAs if they're just putting up good spin rates and RPMs and stuff like that, right?
As long as we're learning, you know, and that's what I'm trying to be a sponge. I'm trying to learn every day, and I think like it's very easy to learn here when you got ex-big leaguers as your coaches and you got a great group of guys that you're excited to go to the field with every single day. You know, it's you're learning and having fun at the same time. And then on top of it all, you're winning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, man, it was a pleasure to have you on. Obviously, like I said, we're getting you early here. Like we did the same thing with Cade Cavalli, and now he's the number one prospect for the Nationals. Humble brag is that good. So we're just, like I said, we get the guys early. We buy the stock when they're grinding, they're getting to the early stages. And then when you make it to the show, we're your guys now. Like that's what we're doing. This is a partnership. We're both a rocket ship here. So you just love to see it, but I appreciate you coming on this, man. Obviously keep doing your thing. Number 9 ranked prospect. So no one getting in the double digits for him. It's number 9. And I appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you for hopping on.
For having me, seriously. I'll be on soon. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.